الحمد لله وكفاه والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد. In tonight's Taraweeh, we continued with the recitation of Surah At-Tawbah. And towards the end of the Surah, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the various injunctions with regards to jihad and with regards to the disengagement from the kuffar, and the removal of the kuffar from the holy lands, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also takes to task those people that delayed in going out for the call of the battle of Tabuk, who showed a delay, and towards the end they are pardoned. But there is one verse which we will discuss towards the end of the surah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides an important piece of guidance to the ummah, wherein he mentions that when we proceed out for jihad, then all of us should not go out for jihad at once, but rather a group of people should remain behind, لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, so that they may study and gain a deep understanding of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah mentions that this ayah, this particular ayah, is the foundation for all of those who seek knowledge. And the seeking of knowledge is established through this particular ayah. Supported by this, the Mufassirin mention the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Talabul ilm faridatun ala kulli muslim," that the seeking of knowledge is compulsory upon each and every Muslim. There are great benefits to seeking of knowledge. That person that goes out, it comes in the hadith, that person that goes out searching the knowledge of deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes his entry into Jannah easy. And the malaika spread their wings out for that person who is going out to seek the knowledge of deen. That person who is seeking the knowledge of deen, all of the creatures in the worlds and the fish in the sea make dua on behalf of this person. The person receives the inheritance of the anbiya. The anbiya, when they pass away, they do not leave behind gold and silver and wealth. Rather, they leave behind the ilm of their nubuwah. And those people who are fortunate enough to receive that ilm of nubuwah are the inheritors of the anbiya. They are the heirs of the anbiya, and they are receiving a wealth that is far superior than the gold and silver of this world. So there are great benefits with respect to the seeking of knowledge. But when it comes to the seeking of knowledge, there are two categories. That knowledge which is fard ayn, that is compulsory upon each and every Muslim, baligh, mature person. This knowledge each of us have to seek. And what is this knowledge? Mufassirin explained firstly that we need to seek the knowledge of our aqaid, making sure that our beliefs are correct. Secondly, to seek the knowledge of what is najis, what is impure, and how do we obtain purity, tahara, from that, so that we are able to perform our ibadah. So the third thing is that we have to seek the knowledge of how to perform our ibadah, our salah, our fasting, and all the various different ibadat. Then as human beings, we will be interacting with one another. Some of us will be buying and selling, others will be working, different people will be engaged in business. So it is fard upon us to learn that amount of knowledge which is required for our business transactions, ilmul buyu', the knowledge with regards to business transactions. Some people will require a high level understanding. Other people will require a detailed understanding. Now that we've attained wealth and we have the nisab, it's fard upon us to learn the laws of zakah. When is zakah due? How much is due? What is it due on? Then a person will have accumulated the wealth, hajj becomes fard on him. So now he has to learn the laws of hajj and how to perform hajj. A person will be getting married, so he needs to learn the laws of nikah and talaq. These are the different categories that ulama have explained that we have to learn, and it is fard upon each and every one of us to study this knowledge. In addition to this, it comes in Tafsir Mazhari that it is fard upon a person to learn the knowledge with regards to those matters that affect the heart and the inner spiritual self, which we term as tasawwuf. That knowledge which assists us in bringing in the qualities of shukr, sabr, qana'ah, contentment, gratitude, patience into our hearts, and removing from our hearts those qualities, those evil qualities of pride, of arrogance, of anger, etc. This too, Mufassirin have explained, is fard. The next category of ilm is fard, fard kifaya. That it is fard upon the community. If a group of people exercise this particular action, then the rest of the community is absolved of it. And this knowledge is the detailed knowledge of deen, which is divided into three categories. Firstly, the knowledge of the Qur'an, understanding its meanings and its various tafaseer. Then, the knowledge of hadith, to understand the authenticity of hadith, where does the hadith come from and how is it applied. And thirdly, to extract from the Qur'an and the hadith those laws that pertain to the various aspects of deen and how those laws have been codified, which we term as ilmul fiqh. So these three categories are fard kifaya upon the community. Because it is difficult, everyone will not be able to spend that amount of time and engage themselves in the detailed study of this knowledge. It is mentioned that in a town or in a community, Mufassirin explained that if there is no alim, then it is compulsory upon that community to make someone from there an alim. Or if they cannot do that, then they need to invite an alim to come there so that they are able to have and understand the knowledge that is the knowledge of Sharia, so that they are able to practice. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about studying deen, لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, He does not use a simple word like لِيَعْلَمُ الدِّينِ, that we must know about deen, where we would simply read the text. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we need to get a deep understanding of deen. He uses this word, لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. In addition to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the verb which is not in its simple sense. If he were to use that which is in its simple sense, لِيَفْقَهُ الدِّينِ, that would mean we just need to get an understanding of deen. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the complex verb لِيَتَفَقَّهُ فِي الدِّينِ, which means that we need to obtain a deep and complete understanding of deen. This is the beauty of the Arabic language. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that after the alim has obtained his knowledge, what must he do with it? لِيُنذِرُوا قَوْمَهُمْ, so that he can warn his people. Now this term inzar, which we loosely translate as warning, it does not do justice to the word inzar. There's two types. Mufassirin explained that there are two types of warnings. Firstly, there is that general warning that we may warn people that there are criminals there, or that there are wild animals, or there's some danger, etc. And then there is the warning that a father has for his or her child, wherein he warns his child that there is an insect there, there is a snake there, there is some harm there, with a great amount of shafqat and love for that child. This is how the alim is warning his community, with a great amount of love and muhabbat for the consideration and the benefit of that community. And when both the alim and the community understand that this is how the warning is meant to come, and secondly, from a community's perspective, that the alim is not warning to point fingers at people, to point holes at people, etc., but rather that he is warning with the intention of benefit of those people, then we will find that communities will benefit from the ilm of nubuwwah. We then come to the end of the surah, where there are two verses that are mentioned. The first, لَقَدْ جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ عَزِيزٌ عَلَيْهِ مَا عَنِتُّمْ حَرِيصٌ عَلَيْكُمْ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the qualities of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to his love, his kindness and his concern for the ummah. He is Ra'ufur Rahim. He is extremely concerned for the welfare of his ummah. And then the last verse, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ. After all these injunctions about fighting the kuffar, about inviting them towards deen, about its deen, about engaging in jihad and the various aspects, after we have done what we need to do, فَإِن تَوَلَّوْا, if the people that you are inviting turn away, then what is our response? فَقُلْ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is sufficient for us. We have done our work, He is sufficient for us. عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ, that my trust is completely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'ab radiallahu anhu and Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu mentioned that these two verses were the last verses that were revealed with respect to the Qur'an. Before the demise of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these were the last two verses that were mentioned. And Hazrat Abu Darda radiallahu anhu mentions that that person that recites these verses, these last two verses, three times every morning and every evening, then all his tasks will become easy for him. Then we commence Surah Yunus, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlights to us various creations of His. The sun and the light that it provides, the moon and the guidance that it provides, and the alternation of the sun and the moon, which allows us to calculate the days and the nights and the years, and the alternation of the night and the day, which assist us. By day we go out and we earn, and by night we rest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this so that we may exercise some tadabbur. We may ponder over these signs so that we recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after mentioning this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala differentiates between those who have recognized and those who haven't. Those who have not recognized will be entered into Jahannam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And those who recognize, they will be entered into Jannah. And one point which I wish to highlight when we terminate, is that when they enter into Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that they dua, da'wahum fiha subhanaka Allahumma, that the dua of the people who enter into Jannah, the first dua that they will make is subhanaka Allahumma, pure are you, our Lord. You are free from all blemishes. So the question arises, that is this a dua? Are they asking for something? And the response from the Mufassireen is that when the people are entered into Jannah, then they have no further needs. All their needs have been met. So the dua that they make has been replaced with this tasbih of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another hadith it is mentioned that this subhanakallahumma will be like a password or an access code, which when people wish for something or they desire something, they will say subhanakallahumma, and an angel will bring that desire to them. Or they wish for something else, subhanakallahumma, and the angel will bring it to them. Then thereafter, the last dua that they will, the greeting that they will have, tahiyyatuhum fiha salam, that the greeting of Jannah will be salam. The greeting of the people of Jannah will be salam, and who will it come from? In another ayah of the Quran, salamun qawlam min rabbihim, that this salam will come from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in another ayah, wal malaikatu yadkhuluna alayhim min kulli bab salamun alaykum, that the malaika will make salam to the people of Jannah, and they will congratulate them. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity and enter us into Jannah, and may we be from amongst those who the angels will greet us with salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will greet us with salam. And the final verse that I wish to mention, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةً, that when the people are entered into Jannah, those who do good, firstly they will be given husna. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam himself mentions, what is husna? Husna is that they will be entered into Jannah. وَزِيَادَةً, they will be given something extra. And what is that extra? That extra is that they will be given the nazar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That the people of Jannah, after they have been satiated by entering into Jannah, they will be asked, that is there anything else that you wish for? And they will respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh Allah, you've given us everything. What else could you possibly give us? And at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the veils and the parda. And inshaAllah, we will have the opportunity of seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala directly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us that opportunity. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.